Have you ever tried to explain your boundary to someone and felt like you did a really great job at it? You stayed calm, you chose your words carefully, and you genuinely thought, okay, this time they're going to understand. But nothing changed. So you explained it again, a little clearer, a little softer, now with more examples, and still, nothing changed. And that's usually the moment you start thinking, there has to be something wrong with me. I know that moment. A couple of years ago, I told my husband I was done going to family dinners on his side. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done. I didn't even know it back then that I was setting a boundary. I thought it was just a decision not to go somewhere where I didn't feel comfortable. If this sounds like you, you're probably wondering, do you need approval to set boundaries in family relationships? Welcome to Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. If you're done with people-pleasing, tired of repeating the same patterns, and ready to learn what healthy relationships actually look like, you're in the right place. I get it. I was there too. At 65, I started learning the things I wish I'd known decades ago, like how to see the patterns, why we keep repeating them, and how to finally treat ourselves with the respect we always deserved. And somewhere along the way, I realized something that changed everything. When we don't understand our patterns, we pass them on. Not because we're bad parents, but because no one ever showed us anything different. That realization drives everything I do. Like a lighthouse, steady and strong, let's all shine a little brighter today. A boundary is not a debate, a plea, or a request for someone's approval. A boundary is a decision you make about what you will give your energy to. That sounds simple enough, but it doesn't feel simple when you're the one trying to follow through on it, especially if you've spent years explaining yourself, keeping the peace, or managing how other people feel. Most people think boundaries are about the conversation you have with someone else, but they're not. Boundaries start as an internal decision. What am I no longer willing to engage in, even if the other person never changes? The biggest challenge with boundaries isn't knowing what to say. It's everything that rises up in you when it's time to follow through. There's a guilt that makes you question whether you're being selfish or hurting someone. There's the fear of conflict, wondering whether this will turn into an argument or whether the other person will get angry at you. There's the fear of rejection, that if you stop people-pleasing, the relationship will change or even end. And then there's that quiet self-doubt that creeps in and whispers, maybe I'm being too sensitive. Maybe this isn't such a big deal. Maybe I should just let it go. And underneath all of that, there's something that doesn't get talked about enough. Grief. The moment where you realize, I wish they would just get it without me having to explain it all over again. I wish things could feel better without me having to do anything differently. Because the truth is, boundaries that don't need approval often come with accepting that some people won't understand and don't want to. And they may not like the version of you that no longer explains, stays quiet, or makes yourself smaller just to keep the peace. That can feel lonely at first, even when it's the healthiest thing you can do. And if you grew up as the scapegoat in your family, this hits differently. Because you were never just allowed to say, this doesn't work for me. You had to explain it, justify it, and make it make sense to everyone else first. So now as an adult, it feels completely natural to believe that a boundary only counts if the other person agrees with it. And that's where the pattern keeps repeating, because you stay in the loop of explaining and negotiating, instead of deciding what you will actually do if nothing changes. So the shift isn't about finding better words. It's moving from, I need to explain this in a way they understand, to, I don't need approval to protect my peace. That's where a real boundary begins, not in the conversation, but in the decision you make with yourself about what you will and won't engage in anymore. Until recently, I didn't really understand what a boundary actually was. For most of my life, it looked more like a reaction. Don't talk to me that way, or I'm not tolerating that behavior, usually said in the heat of the moment, and then life would just go on as before. Nothing really changed. I didn't know there was another way. That became clear to me about 3 years ago when I set a boundary I didn't even know I was setting at the time. For decades, after dinners and gatherings on my husband's side of the family, I would come home feeling small, dismissed, like I was the problem. When we were first married, I would cry every time. Something would be said, something would happen, something would land in a way I couldn't quite shake. And then I would go back. And it would happen again. A few years ago, we were celebrating an anniversary at my husband's family's members' home. It was a beautiful outdoor setting, a lovely buffet dinner, a fire going as the evening wound down, music playing, everyone up dancing. I remember feeling genuinely good that night. Then the DJ put on a slow song. We had all been dancing together as a group, so when the music shifted, I naturally turned to my husband. But he had a different idea. He turned to his sister and started dancing with her. And there I was, standing in the middle of the dance floor, everyone coupled up around me. I was heartbroken. I went home and sat with it for several days. And somewhere in that time, something shifted. I realized I had spent 50 years absorbing moments like that, going back, hoping it would be different, but leaving every time feeling a little less like myself. And for the first time, I made a different decision. Not out of reaction, but quietly with myself. I decided I was done putting myself in situations where I felt that way. So when Thanksgiving came that year and the invitation went out for dinner at his sister's, I said no. I wasn't going. That was the hardest boundary I have ever set, because my husband, my children, and my grandchildren still go. Every holiday dinner, and I am not there. I won't pretend that doesn't hurt. The grief of being on the outside of your own family gatherings is real. But when I feel that grief, I also remind myself of 50 years of moments that chipped away at my self-worth. And I know I am no longer willing to risk feeling that way again. And over time, I've softened that boundary a little. I'm open to being around them in public settings, restaurants, sporting events, places where there are other people present. That feels manageable for me. And that's the thing about boundaries. They're not about punishment. They're not about controlling anyone else. They're about deciding what you will and won't engage in and being honest enough with yourself to follow through. That decision started me on a path of really understanding boundaries for the first time. And I want to share what I learned with you in hope that it will help you also. The first thing I had to understand was the difference between a rule and a boundary, because I had those mixed up for a long time. A rule is about trying to control someone else's behavior. It sounds like, you need to stop talking to me like that, or you can't treat me this way. A boundary is completely different. A boundary is about what you will do, and it sounds more like, if the conversation turns into blame or sarcasm, I'm going to end it. Same situation, but now the focus is on your response, not their behavior. And that shift changes everything. The second thing is that internal boundaries come first, and they don't require anyone's approval. Before anything is said out loud, there has to be a decision inside of you. What am I no longer willing to engage in, even if nothing changes on the other end? Because if that decision isn't clear internally, you'll keep getting pulled back into explaining, negotiating, and second-guessing yourself. And here's the part that took me the longest to accept. Someone can disagree with your boundary, push back on it, refuse to acknowledge it, and you can still follow through. Their approval was never a requirement. The boundary starts in that quiet moment where you decide this is where something changes, regardless of how they respond. The third thing is about over-explaining, because I did this for years and I see it all the time. We think if we just say it more clearly, they'll finally understand and things will change. But the more you explain, the more it starts to sound like you're asking for permission. It keeps you stuck in the same conversation, engaged in the same dynamic. What makes a boundary real isn't how clearly you explain it. It's whether you follow through when nothing changes. The fourth thing is about the grief that comes with following through. When you stop explaining and start acting on your boundary, it can feel lonely. The relationship may change. People may pull away or push back, and there's a moment where you wonder if you made the right call. I want you to know that loneliness doesn't mean you made the wrong decision. It means something is finally changing, and change, even healthy change, has a cost. Feeling that cost doesn't mean you got it wrong. And the last piece is this. Boundaries don't fix the relationship. Oh, they reveal it. Sometimes things do improve and the dynamic shifts, but most often it becomes really clear what's actually been there all along. What boundaries always do is change your experience. You stop chasing understanding. You stop caring everything and you stop abandoning yourself just to keep the relationship steady. And that clarity, as hard as it can be at first, is what allows you to move forward differently. Kids aren't learning about boundaries from what we say. They're learning from what we tolerate and how we respond. They're watching if you stay in conversations that don't feel safe, if you keep explaining yourself over and over, or if you allow yourself to be dismissed or blamed. And they're filing all of that away, quietly building their own understanding of what relationships are supposed to look like. But they're also watching when you do something different. When you calmly say, "I'm not continuing this conversation right now," and you mean it. When you step away without anger, without a long explanation, without going back in to justify yourself. When you don't get pulled into defending yourself over and over again. That's where the real learning happens. They start to understand that boundaries aren't about punishing someone or winning an argument. They're about respecting yourself enough to act on what you need. And that's one of the most important things you can pass on. Not a perfect explanation of what a boundary is, but a living example of what it looks like to follow through on one. When your kids see you protect your peace without drama, without guilt, and without apology, they start to believe they're allowed to do the same thing one day. A boundary is not a debate, a plea, or a request for someone's approval. It's a quiet decision you make with yourself about what you will and won't engage in anymore. And for so many of us, especially if you grew up as the family scapegoat, you were never allowed to just decide. You had to explain, justify, and make it make sense to everyone else first. So you kept explaining and nothing changed. Not because you were doing it wrong, but because you were waiting for something that was never going to come from them. That's not being difficult. That's being honest with yourself about what you need. Whether you're starting to understand yourself more clearly, working through old family dynamics, or learning to do things differently, you're building the skills that help you grow into the person you were meant to be. Listening is important, but real change happens when you use what you've learned. So just choose one life lesson from today and try it out this week. That's when things begin to shift. And if you want more life lessons like this, be sure to follow Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. If this episode resonated with you, there's a link in the show notes to show your appreciation. Either way, I'm grateful for you being here. If no one has told you lately, everything will be okay. Tomorrow is a new day, and with it comes new hope. As I conclude this episode, I must state that this podcast is designed solely for educational and entertainment purposes. While I bring my experience as a parent and grandparent, it's essential that you know I am not a licensed therapist. This podcast is not a substitute for professional advice from a physician, professional coach, psychotherapist, or other qualified professional. Got it? Awesome. Until next time, what is one thing you are grateful for?